His money ran out, and praise God, he said, well, there's some folk over there who have some hogs, and I need to go and find myself a job. And see, the significance of that is that you would never find a Jew going nowhere around no hog. If I didn't think I would blow somebody's mind as to why that is, I would give you the rationale, but I won't do it in this open forum. But when soon as the service is over, if you want to know why they don't like hogs, praise God, I'll be glad to tell you why. But praise God, we find that this young man found himself eating the husk of the hogs. In other words, he was eating slop. And hallelujah, and then he came to him sense. Praise God, he said, wait a minute. My father got some hired hands, and they are sitting back, praise God, in the palace, and they are eating. Can I throw some stuff out there? They were eating some cabbage greens. They were eating some mustard greens. They were eating, praise God, some caviar. They were eating steak, praise God. And he said, here I am out here in the huts, and I'm eating hog slop. And he came to his senses. He was at the most desperate point in his life, and he said, I'm gonna rise up, and I'm gonna go back to my father's house. And there is something, hallelujah, when you have gone off and you have done those things that you thought you were big and bad enough to do. And some folk find it hard to go back to Father because.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
How many of you love him here? Do you love him?
Amen. Thank God for another opportunity to stand. Thank God for each of you. And just looking at your smiling faces let me know that God is good and his mercy endures forever. I would that you turn with me in the book of Exodus, which is second book of the Old Testament, chapter number 14. In times like these, we need encouragement.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let us know that we're not the only people of God who have to go through some stuff.
That's right. That's right.
But God is always there to deliver. In the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, I want to begin reading at verse number 10. And it says, everybody got it? Say amen. If anybody need a little more time, you need to be at church every day. Amen. Because I did tell you it was the second book of the Old Testament. All right. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Verse 26 said, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. Verse 28, then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. For a few minutes again, we won't talk about God. We'll turn things around. God will turn things around. Let me begin by saying that despite all of the things that's going on today, such as the terrorist attacks, police killing innocent people, thank you, Ursus, innocent police being killed, and trouble on every hand, all we can do is petition the Lord in prayer, which is appropriate in every situation and every mood of life, because God's might or power always enters the conflicts of this world on the side of right and justice. In other words, God can and does work in history despite our fears and unbelief, as he accomplishes his will and elicits faith from those of us who belong to him. And therefore, we must be persistent in our prayers during these trying times, because as the saying goes, he may not come when you want him, but whenever he shows up, he will always be right on time. Many times, God has a last minute way of answering our prayers. And now this is illustrated this morning in our immediate text as we talk from the subject, God will turn things around. And so as we consider our text this morning about the story of God's people being trapped at the Red Sea, seemingly with no way out, this is actually a picture of life. Because many times in life when we have experienced a deliverance, we begin to think that all is well, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we find ourselves facing an even greater crisis that makes us feel trapped with no way out. And so instead of trusting the same God who delivered you the first time, many times we allow fear to cancel out our fate, like the Israelites who had been delivered by God's powerful hand from Egyptian slavery without even raising a hand. And perhaps they thought and began to feel as they made their way out of Egypt that all was well. But all of a sudden they looked back and they see the Egyptian army closing in fast. And they allowed fear to replace their faith, causing them to forget God's mighty delivering power. Now, surely God wouldn't deliver them out of Egypt, Egyptian slavery, to allow them to be slaughtered in the wilderness. And let me say to us in the same way, many of us need to understand that God hadn't brought you to where you are in life just to leave you in failure and defeat. For the Lord said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But now, having said that, let remind us that life, trouble, and adversity will be our constant companion, which may come in many forms. It may come in the form of sickness, loss of loved one, disappointment, or failures, and like. But the good news of text reveals that no matter how bad things may be, if you maintain your trust in the Lord, God will turn things around. Although I must admit that at times life can be cruel, because many times hope that have risen to great heights will begin to sink into the depths of disappointment and despair. Because every day and everywhere, thousands of folk are facing disease and accidents, death, loss of loved ones, broken relationship, loss of job, financial problems, and the like. My brothers and sisters, the thing about it is that as Christians, as God's children, we need to understand that we're not exempt from the many crises of life. And so many times when the cry from the human heart in troubled times is, where is God when you really need him? And perhaps this was the feeling of the Israelites at the Red Sea as they see 600 Egyptian chariots bearing down on them. And no doubt this caused them to feel helpless and trapped with the mountains on either side, with the Red Sea blocking their way. And that's the way it is in life sometimes when we are in a crisis. I'm talking about the time when you find yourself unable to go backwards or to the left or the right or even unable to move forward. And so you feel trapped with no way out of your problem. And so the text reveals that in spite of the fact that the Israelites and Moses had just experienced freedom by the mighty power of God, but still they find themselves trapped like hunted animals, and they begin to allow fear to grip their hearts. And I can imagine that perhaps mothers were clutching their children, trying to make their final memories of freedom at least as painful as possible. Others perhaps contemplated throwing themselves in the sea and allowing the water to become their final resting place, while still others were determined to go down fighting. But guess what? My brothers and sisters, the real problem wasn't Pharaoh and his army, nor was it the Red Sea, but the real problem was their hearts, because they allowed fear to replace their faith, causing them to forget who it was that had delivered them out of Egyptian slavery in the first place. And so because of their fear, they began to lose all hope. My brothers and sisters, the point I'm trying to make is that fear and doubt is a faith killer. But when we focus on God's faithfulness in the past, we'll be able to face any crisis with confidence in God's delivering power in the present by realizing that trouble don't last always, because God can and he will turn things around. But lest I hold you too long, permit me with your prayer to lift three things from the text as we talk from the subject, God will turn things around. Well, first of all, fear, faithlessness, and blaming others go hand in hand. Because note the text reveals in verse number 10 and 11 that when the people of Israel saw the world's most powerful army coming over the horizon behind them, being stricken with fear, some cried for help, while others cried out against God's servant Moses, accusing him of bringing them into the wilderness to be slaughtered by the Egyptians. Here we see that what happens when we allow fear to replace our faith. It bring about a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. It will cause one to forget about who it was that brought them thus far. Because when trouble and adversity arise, how soon do we forget? Just think for a moment. Now, God had already demonstrated his mighty power in chapter 7 through 12 when he launched 10 plagues of judgment against the Egyptians. He then freed the Israelites by his mighty power. With their own eyes, they witnessed firsthand the mighty power of God. But not only did he deliver them, but we read in Exodus 13 and 21 that he also led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, this pillar of cloud and fire was examples of a theophany, meaning God appearing in physical form. Because in this form, God was a light to Israel's path. He protected them from the enemy, provided reassurance, controlled their movement, as well as inspired the burning zeal that Israel should have had for the Lord. And therefore, this moment in the life of the Israelites called for faith and not fear. In other words, it's called for strong faith in the fact that whatever God promises, he will bring it to pass, no matter how impossible it may seem, how severe our circumstances may be. My brothers and sisters, all I'm trying to say is that we can trust in the Lord and stand on his promises. But fear, faithlessness, complaining, and blaming others for our troubles and trials will only cause us to doubt the mighty delivering and sustaining power of God. Amen. Now, the second thing I want to lift from the text is what God expects of us when trouble and adversity comes into our lives. And that is, we must not be afraid and stand still. In other words, we are to maintain our faith and stand still by waiting on the Lord. But notice, if you will, that according to verse 12, the people were hostile and despairing. Now, this is the first instance of Israel grumbling and complaining, which would become a major problem of God's people as they journeyed to the promised land. But ever, how often do we find ourselves doing the same thing because of our inconveniences and our discomforts? But in verse 13, we see three challenges to the Israelites issued by God through Moses. He said, "Fear not, and stand still." That's the first two. Now, the thought here is that whenever a severe problem confronts us, there seems to be no solution, our natural tendency out of fear to try to run away from our problem. But that's not God's way, because God's way is to fear not and stand still and trust the Lord to see you through. Although I must admit that this is one of the most difficult things to do many times when facing severe trials and crisis in our lives. But God's challenge to us this morning is to fear not and stand still. And so the first two challenges God issues through Moses to the Israelites were to fear not and stand still. But now the third challenge was to watch. Watch what? Watch ourselves being destroyed by the Egyptian army? No, but watch the mighty delivering power of the Lord. Yes, note the text says, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the deliverance of the Lord." In other words, watch God's mighty delivering power. "For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again forever." In essence, Moses is saying, "I know it looks bad, and the Egyptians seem to have the upper hand, but don't be afraid. You need to just stand still and watch God's delivering power." My brothers and sisters, perhaps I need to tell somebody here this morning, or maybe somebody who will be listening by way of radio, that no matter what you're facing or going through in life, it may be hard, but if you continue to trust in the Lord, I tell you, God is able and he will turn things around. And while you're waiting for your deliverance, he'll give you some grace and strength to endure. But the Bible said that the Lord told Apostle Paul one time when he was suffering from great affliction in his body, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in human weakness. Well, now the final thing we see in the text is God's challenge to Moses, his servant, for God tells Moses, stop crying out to me and go forward. Yeah. Now, Moses in verse 13 had just issued three stirring challenges to the people of God. In the face of these seemingly impossible odds, he told them to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. But now here in verse number 15, we see that it's obvious that Moses too became gripped by a terrifying sense of hopelessness and helplessness. Because the text says, verse 15, that the Lord said to Moses, and so be the word, get up off your knees and step out on faith and go forward. Now that says to us this morning that prayer must have a vital place in our lives, but there's also a place for action. For instance, maybe you've been praying to God to give you a job, but let me say something to you. You never get up and go out and fill any applications to find a job. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how much you pray, you will never find employment until you put some action behind your prayers by getting up out of your bed and going out looking for some employment. Why? Because after you pray, you got to step out on faith and trust God to let you find favor in the eyes of some employer. And so sometimes we know what to do, but we pray for both guidance as an excuse to postpone what God has directed us to do. And so the thought here is that when facing any problem or difficult situation, there is a time for prayer and analyzing the problem and planning on what to do. But there is also a time for us to get up off of our knees and step out on faith and go on and move forward with our lives. But now this can only be done when we lean and depend on God by letting go and letting God take care of our problems. And that's what the proverb writer was talking about in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6 when he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. He said, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Because I tell you again, God will turn things around. And so the text reveals in verse number 16 that God told Moses to stretch out his rod over the waters and divide it, and the children of Israel will cross over on dry land. But now, notice you will that it wasn't Moses' rod that caused the water to divide, but it was Moses' obedience and faith in the power of God that caused the waters to divide. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so the text reveals in verse 21 through 22 that because of Moses' obedient faith, that the Lord called the sea to go back by a strong east wind that blew all night long. And he made the sea a dry bed, and the waters were divided. But as the children of Israel began to cross over in the midst of the sea, they look back around quickly and they see the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. But remember, God's challenge in verse 13 was to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He told them, the Egyptian whom you see today, you will not see again, no more forever. Because God will turn things around. And so in verse 27 revealed that God called the waters to return to their depths and covered all the chariots and horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea behind them. And not so much as one of them was saved. Right, then verse 30 says, and the Israelites saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians on the seashore. Well, now, this is a word for somebody here this morning. or perhaps someone who may be listening by way of radio, who, like the children of Israel, you may feel trapped with no way out of your circumstance because you're down in the valley of despair, and the hellhounds of adversity is closing in fast behind, so you can't go backwards. You got the mountains of opposition on either side, and so you can't go to your left nor to your right. Then you got the Red Sea of impossibility seemingly blocking your way. But the word still is, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because God will, I tell you, he'll turn things around. But before I let you go, I believe I'm going to call up a few witnesses, who know about God, the mighty delivering power. Come here a minute, Job. I want you to tell me, won't God turn things around? Yes, I'm still. I know God will turn things around because I'll never forget when I lost my children. I lost my wealth, my health, the respect of my wife, and the trust of my friends, and I lost them all at once. But I held on, and I waited on the Lord, and God stepped in and he turned things around because he blessed my latter days more than my beginning. And that's why I know that God will turn things around. What about it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Tell me, won't God turn things around? Yes, I'm standing, because we know without a shadow of doubt that God will turn things around. Because when old King Nebuchadnezzar had us thrown into the fiery furnace, God stepped in and he turned things around by insulating us from the fire so that it could do us no harm. And that's why we know that God will turn things around. And so God told Moses, he said, stop crying to me. Step out on faith and move forward. And in the same way, God is telling us, and somebody in particular this morning, to put your prayer in action by getting up off your knees and moving forward with your life. Because again, I say that God will turn things around. I heard Isaiah saying, Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. He said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I call you by your name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters of adversity, I am with you. Through the rivers of difficulty and trouble, they won't even overflow you. And when you pass through the fiery trials of life, you won't be scorched by the flame, because God will turn things around, and you'll be able to say, like the songwriter said, that problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve. He said, I tried and I tried, but I kept getting deeper involved, but I gave it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. But let me close by saying, when Jesus gave his life up on the old rugged cross for the sins of the world, while he laid in the grave 3 days and three nights, I tell you, the enemy, they got happy, saying, we've gotten rid of that old troublemaker. But somewhere between 12 midnight and early Sunday morning, Jesus, yes, Lord, God turned things around, because Jesus stepped up on resurrecting ground, declaring all power in heaven and earth is in my hands. hand, and after showing himself alive for some 40 days, he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. Ain't God all right? But in the meantime, I need to tell us that trouble, it may come. Sickness will come. Tears will fall. But we got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord, they renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings just like eagles. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. I say, wait, wait on the Lord, because